The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. It is set on a lampstand where it gives light to all in the house. Just so, your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord. Okay, it's great. Continuation here of the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to be there for a little while. Chapters 5 through 7 of Matthew's Gospel. So we're into the 13th through 16th verses of the 5th chapter. And so this is a homily from yesterday, part 2. This is it though. I want to stress the same points again. At least the points. The two points that I want to hold on to from yesterday are again what Jesus is saying about the world, and what God's answer to that challenge is. Right. So we say the world is upside down. Jesus just gave us that list of beatitudes, and it sounds upside down to us. Blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, and the rest. It sounds upside down to us, but that's because we're living in an upside down world. So the challenge then is God's determination to put the world to rights means that there are many things that are inverted that we otherwise would not assume. And we have to go through then a process of inversion to take what's upside down and put it right side up. Okay? This is challenging enough. But the claim, one of the central presuppositions here is that the world is out of sorts. The world is out of sorts. And again, it's happy fault. I mean, for me to have woken up and felt out of sorts, right? It's like I can feel it in myself. You can feel it in yourself. And then no matter where you look, you see it all around you as well. The world is out of sorts. Okay, so we don't say that and then sit back and go, okay, well, the world's out of sorts, so be it. At least that's not what God does. He doesn't sit back and say, okay, fine. You know what? They messed up my whole creation, so just let them have it at this point, whatever. Spiral out of control and so on and so forth. Sometimes this is like, we think that's the narrative. Like that God is somehow withdrawn and he's just letting people do whatever they want to do, and the whole thing is, if the world blows up tomorrow, well, I'm not going to be surprised by it because this is not what God's up to. God is the good creator. His creation is good, and he seeks to save what he made, right? And he's doing it. It's not like he's somewhere far off and he's waiting for us to do it. He's doing it himself. And certainly, in and as Jesus of Nazareth, God is doing it. God is doing it. So here, part of this is, okay, look, so we have the world is out of sorts. What does God do? God goes in. Just as he covenanted himself with the world in the beginning, so too he keeps giving himself, right? So he forms a people to be particularly his own, Israel. Israel's meant to be light to the world, right? No matter, I don't know, this story, I don't want to say anything about their motivations, but it doesn't work. They can't do it. Okay, so then Jesus comes along. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the salt of the earth. And Jesus is Israel, the true Israel itself. So Jesus picks up that vocation to be light of the world, salt of the earth, and rest, and he drives it on. And he drives it on right into the teeth of its greatest opponent, an enemy, death. And he defeats death, and he keeps going. Right? And he calls us to follow him. That's God's answer. We're kind of looking around for what the answer is going to be. Right? What's the answer going to be? We're looking around. Oh, please, please, God, give us a better political party. Right? It's like, is that going to be the answer? It doesn't look like it. Maybe one day, but it's clear it doesn't look like it. Right? Or is it going to be a different kind of, and I want to say, get out of the kind of, American political scene, whatever. I want to say politics more generally or more widely, right? Like, is it going to be a different arrangement of people that is somehow going to bring about, like, the good that we so long for in the world? It's not going to be. It's not. Are we going to, can we figure this out on the horizontal plane? Right? So take the infusion of grace out of the question. Take God's pouring his love into our hearts out of the question. Are we going to be able to rearrange ourselves and our lives and our society in such a way that we bring about what our hearts so deeply long for and what God intends? We're not. It's not going to happen that way. The way that light comes to the world is by God's people living faithfully to him and bringing his love to life in the world. Now, that can be a massive movement that has very significant political ramifications. But if it doesn't include me loving God with my whole heart and soul and strength and the rest, and loving my neighbor as myself with the strength of God's love at work in me and working through me, then that whole movement will mean nothing. So we don't have to waste too much energy dreaming about what this thing or that thing or the other thing should look like, or how we'll get to this particular arrangement and whatever. We have to start with giving our whole heart and our whole life over to God, through and with and in Christ Jesus. I use those words you know what I'm referring to, right? When I say through and with and in Christ Jesus, right? Through him and with him and in him, right? We pray that prayer at the altar. I'm pointing you to the altar, right? We're going to offer our whole heart and our whole life to God through and with and in Christ Jesus. This is Jesus's act of love for his heavenly Father. And we, because we have the privilege of being called by him, we get to give ourselves over to God in that perfect offering of praise and thanksgiving. That enables us, that prepares us to receive his love, to receive the risen body and blood of Jesus, so as to be his body in the world. His body, God's answer in the world. God's answer for what ails the world. We get to be part of. So we have to keep that frame of reference on us at all times. We have to keep this story going in our heads at all times. Of course, the world is out of sorts. It doesn't take a genius to point that out, right? Anybody can see that the world is out of sorts. So if you think you're special because you've identified a particular way that the world is out of sorts, just join the club. We all know it already. It's painful enough. We don't need everyone pointing it out all the time, right? It's just, we know it's the case. What is the point of God becoming man, without everybody already recognizing, without it being so blatantly clear that this is what's going on, right? If that were not the case, why would God become man? Anyway, he did, right? He did, to lead the way. And so we have to go with him on his way. And I want to, just one point here, okay? A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden. Of course, Jesus set on a mountain in his crucifixion. But nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. Who lit that lamp? Who is lighting the lamp? Who is lighting the lamp? Who is lighting your lamp? It's not you. It's God. So it's more than this, right? We hear in the third Eucharistic prayer, God, he has summoned us before him to make this offering. It's his story. It's his plan. And we do our best when we give ourselves over to it faithfully. He is lighting the lamp. It's ours to make sure that it radiates to every corner of his creation.